The oversight of Oranga Tamariki system and children and young people's commission bill says that it aims to improve outcomes for young people in Aotearoa by strengthening the independent monitoring and complaints oversight of the system, as well as advocacy for children and young people's issues generally. However, some say that this new bill ignores reports on what independent and effective monitoring of the system should look like. I spoke to, firstly, Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission Chief Executive Karen Osborne about this issue.
So the commission was set up last year, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, and we contribute to better and equitable mental health and wellbeing outcomes for all people in New Zealand. So we work closely with people's lived experience and the populations that are more likely to experience distress and poorer mental health and wellbeing outcomes. So we are an independent Crown entity, and we have a system oversight role as well as combined functions of monitoring and advocacy. And so we have a particular interest in this bill and the efforts to improve the system for children in state care and the children who experience adverse childhood events and many of the priority population groups that we work with. So the oral submission really focused on two key messages. So the first was about the need for a strong and independent monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system and a system that has Te Tiriti o Waitangi as its foundation, and really importantly that children's voices are really strongly reflected through all of the changes. So our submission focused on the first two of those because we know many of the other submissions covered the need for children's voices to be strongly heard, and we really support and acknowledge those voices of other submitters.
You mentioned that the bill is proposing to establish a monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system. The Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has stated that you have some concerns about the independence of this monitor. Why do you believe it's really important that this monitor is impartial from the government?
Yeah, and that's some of the learning from our own role as well. So we've been set up as an independent Crown entity. So we take a broad look across the system, and because we have that level of independence, it allows us to speak freely and frankly about our views. So the combination of the monitoring role, so being able to report and assess how things are going and to identify how the system needs to be improved, with that level of independence gives the ability to be freer in terms of those observations and those recommendations. We also have that really important advocacy role, so we've developed and are developing really close relationships with the communities of interest for us, so particularly with Māori, but also with people with lived experience and other population groups. And so that engagement allows us to really understand what's important to people and to reflect those voices back into our work. So yeah, that combination of monitoring, advocacy and independence is critical to get an agency that people can look to and have confidence in their ability to monitor how the system's going and call for improvements when you see those.
Right, so what would an effective monitoring, an independent monitor, look like to you then?
An effective independent monitor is an agency that has got that independence, it has got the monitoring function, and it has got that advocacy function as well. So we believe that that combination can come together. I know there's views that it can't, but we have the view that it can come together with those strong voices of the people. So that agency also needs to be well-resourced so that it has got the resources to do the sort of the breadth and depth of monitoring that it needs to, and have the breadth and depth of engagement with those really important communities that are deeply interested in this particular area.
And with this bill, the government's seeking to reform the process of state care, but also just greater advocacy for young people and their issues generally. So I guess as a Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, what would you want their priorities to be? What sort of mental health issues or issues affecting young people would you think are most pressing to focus on?
There are some pressing issues in terms of mental health and wellbeing for children and young people, particularly the children and young people that experience day care, and it's really engaging with those children and young people and understanding what's really important to them. And there's some very strong advocates for improved systems and services for children experiencing state care. So I think the first thing is to listen to the children and the young people and hear what they have to say, hear what's important to them and really focus the efforts in that way.
Yeah, and just lastly, what sort of outcome are you expecting to hear after your submission, and when do you think you'll hear back about this?
Look, to be honest, I'm not sure what the timeframes are. I imagine the committee, you know, they're hearing it from a number of different submitters, and they'll be looking at all of the submissions. That's part of the usual process, looking at all of the submissions and then thinking about what happens next. So, yeah, that's for the committee to decide. But we'll be watching with interest how the bill progresses through the various stages.
I also had a kōrero with Voice National Care Experience Lead Tupua Ulrich about their concerns about the oversight of the state care system in Aotearoa. Here is that interview. First of all, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a bit about your role at Voice?
Kia ora, ko Tupua Ulrich tōku ingoa. I work at Voice Whakarongo Mai, a national advocacy organisation for our young people in the care system. My role is Care Experience Lead, so I work alongside our young people, up-and-coming emerging leaders in this space, and support them.
Today I wanted to ask you a bit about the oversight of Oranga Tamariki System and Children and Young People's Commission Bill. Could you just first tell us what your general thoughts are on this bill?
Initial thoughts on the bill are that it's not good. It's been rushed, it's flawed. It's dangerous, to be honest with you, because we're talking about moving the monitor of a system that's responsible for abusing so many children closer to political influence. So at the moment, the monitor sits within the Office of the Children's Commissioner, and that's far more independent than what the bill proposes to do, which is to shift the monitor under a departmental government agency, the Education Review Office. There's far more political influence there than there is at the Office of the Children's Commissioner.
Voices said that the bill ignores reports on what an independent and effective monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system should look like. In your opinion, as someone who has experience with the system, what would be an effective monitoring system? What would that include?
Well, independence is key, right? First of all, it's got to have independence, and it's got to have strength behind it in order to carry out its monitoring. So, and I mean, I'd be happy if it stayed at the Office of the Children's Commissioner. They do their job really well there, so well that I think that is part of the reason why this bill has emerged, because when advocacy is done well, it places an immense amount of pressure on the government to improve. This bill is punishing that the Office of the Children's Commissioner for doing its job well. It's placed pressure on the government, and rather than addressing those issues, it's decided to try and silence that critical voice and advocate that is the Office of the Children's Commissioner.
This independent children's monitor, it's been proposed to have a Māori advisory board that is made up of members with, quote, experience and knowledge of tikanga Māori. So in your opinion, what would a meaningful partnership with Māori and Māori organisations look like for the system?
An understanding and knowledge of tikanga Māori, it goes without saying, right? If they're a Māori advisory board, you'd expect that to be the case. But it's far more than just having knowledge of Māori. You've got to have a knowledge of the system, where it's harming our young people. And, you know, my question to the government is, since when did partnership equal advisory? It seems that all these
Erirangi Poho, me Heidi, Key 95 BFM, Irakati Com. And you can catch all these stories and more by podcast on our website. Let's get into it.
So it's a very odd time to be alive, as they say.
The Wire.
The oversight of Oranga Tamariki System and Children and Young People's Commission Bill says that it aims to improve outcomes for young people in Aotearoa by strengthening the independent monitoring and complaints oversight of the system, as well as advocacy for children and young people's issues generally. However, some say that this new bill ignores reports on what independent and effective monitoring of the system should look like. I spoke to, firstly, Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission Chief Executive Karen Osborne about this issue.
So the commission was set up last year, the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, and we contribute to better and equitable mental health and wellbeing outcomes for all people in New Zealand. So we work closely with people's lived experience and the populations that are more likely to experience disparate distress and poorer mental health and wellbeing outcomes. So we are an independent Crown entity, and we have a system oversight role as well as combined functions of monitoring and advocacy. And so we have a particular interest in this bill and the efforts to improve the system for children in state care and the children who experience adverse childhood events and many of the priority population groups that we work with. So the oral submission really focused on two key messages. So the first was about the need for a strong and independent monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system, and a system that has Te Tiriti o Waitangi as its foundation, and really importantly that children's voices are really strongly reflected through all of the changes. So our submission focused on the first two of those because we know many of the other submissions covered the need for children's voices to be strongly heard, and we really support and acknowledge those voices of other submitters.
You mentioned that the bill is proposing to establish a monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system. The Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has stated that you have some concerns about the independence of this monitor. Why do you believe it's really important that this monitor is impartial from the government?
Yeah, and that's some of the learning from our own role as well. So we've been set up as an independent Crown entity. So we take a broad look across the system, and because we have that level of independence, it allows us to speak freely and frankly about our views. So the combination of the monitoring role, so being able to report and assess how things are going and to identify how the system needs to be improved, with that level of independence gives the ability to be freer in terms of those observations and those recommendations. We also have that really important advocacy role. So we've developed and are developing really close relationships with the communities of interest for us, so particularly with Māori, but also with people with lived experience and other population groups. And so that engagement allows us to really understand what's important to people and to reflect those voices back into our work. So that combination of monitoring, advocacy and independence is critical to get an agency that people can look to and have confidence in their ability to monitor how the system's going and call for improvements when you see those.
Right, so what would an effective monitoring, an independent monitor, look like to you then?
An effective independent monitor is an agency that has got that independence, it has got the monitoring function, and it has got that advocacy function as well. So we believe that that combination can come together. I know there's views that it can't, but we have the view that it can come together with those strong voices of the people. So that agency also needs to be well resourced so that it has got the resources to do the sort of the breadth and depth of monitoring that it needs to, and have the breadth and depth of engagement with those really important communities that are deeply interested in this particular area.
And with this bill, the government's seeking to reform the process of state care, but also just greater advocacy for young people and their issues generally. So I guess as a Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, what would you want their priorities to be? What sort of mental health issues or issues affecting young people would you think are most pressing to focus on?
There are some pressing issues in terms of mental health and wellbeing for children and young people, particularly the children and young people that experience day care. And it's really engaging with those children and young people and understanding what's really important to them. And there's some very strong advocates for improved systems and services for children experiencing state care. So I think the first thing is to listen to the children and the young people and hear what they have to say, hear what's important to them, and really focus the efforts in that way.
Yeah, and just lastly, what sort of outcome are you expecting to hear after your submission, and when do you think you'll hear back about this?
Look, to be honest, I'm not sure what the timeframes are. I imagine the committee, you know, they're hearing it from a number of different submitters, and they'll be looking at all of the submissions. That's part of the usual process, looking at all of the submissions and then thinking about what happens next. So That's for the committee to decide. But we'll be watching with interest how the bill progresses through the various stages.
I also had a kōrero with Voice National Care Experience Lead Tupua Ulrich about their concerns about the oversight of the state care system in Aotearoa. Here is that interview. First of all, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a bit about your role at Voice?
Kia ora, ko Tupua Ulrich tōku ingoa. I work at Voice Whakarongo Mai, national advocacy organisation for our young people in the care system. My role is Care Experience Lead, so I work alongside our young people, up-and-coming emerging leaders in this space, and support them.
Today I wanted to ask you a bit about the oversight of Oranga Tamariki System and Children and Young People's Commission Bill. Could you just first tell us what your general thoughts are on this bill?
Initial thoughts on the bill are that it's not good. It's been rushed, it's flawed. It's dangerous, to be honest with you, because we're talking about moving the monitor of a system that's responsible for abusing so many children closer to political influence. So at the moment, the monitor sits within the Office of the Children's Commissioner, and that's far more independent than what the bill proposes to do, which is to shift the monitor under a departmental government agency, the Education Review Office. There's far more political influence there than there is at the Office of the Children's Commissioner.
Voice has said that the bill ignores reports on what an independent and effective monitor of the Oranga Tamariki system should look like. In your opinion, as someone who has experience with the system, what would be an effective monitoring system? What would that include?
Well, independence is key, right? First of all, it's got to have independence and it's got to have strength behind it in order to carry out its monitoring. So, and I mean, I'd be happy if it stayed at the Office of the Children's Commissioner. They do their job really well there, so well that I think that is part of the reason why this bill has emerged, because when advocacy is done well, it places an immense amount of pressure on the government to improve. This bill is punishing that the Office of the Children's Commission for doing its job well. It's placed pressure on the government, and rather than addressing those issues, it's decided to try and silence that critical voice and advocate that is the Office of the Children's Commissioner.
This independent children's monitor, it's been proposed to have a Māori advisory board that is made up of members with, quote, experience and knowledge of tikanga Māori. So in your opinion, what would a meaningful partnership with Māori and Māori organisations look like for the system?
An understanding and knowledge of tikanga Māori, it goes without saying, right? If they're a Māori advisory board, you'd expect that to be the case. But it's far more than just having knowledge of Māori. You've got to have a knowledge of the system, where it's harming our young people. And, you know, my question to the government is, since when did partnership equal advisory? It seems that all these they say that this is partnering with Māori. It's not partnering at all, you know. True partnership in the sense of te tiriti means equal power in these spaces, and it doesn't offer that at all. In fact, it's tokenistic. It lacks any detail around its role, its function, and who will monitor whether it's meeting its goals.
Right, and in addition to this, there's also been some concern about the process of making complaints not being child-friendly, as Tamariki really are the centre of this. So do you think that the current system and what is proposed is too complicated? And how could they make it more accessible for young people?
Yeah, no, I do think that they've overcomplicated this. And one of the ways that they've done so is by introducing a board of commissioners rather than having one children's commissioner, one point, one contact, one place to go to, one person to speak to in regards to these issues. And they're fragmenting it out. So you have the children's commissioner here. You've got the independent children's monitor that sits underneath the Education Review Office. You've got the Office of the Ombudsman. You know, all these acronyms just don't translate into something that makes sense to young people, and it's difficult to navigate even for adults.
There's also been some comments about the bill not including the voice of children. So from your work, what concerns have young people brought up to you?
Oh, look, we're hearing a lot about how this bill does more to defend the reputation of Oranga Tamariki than it does to uphold the rights of young people. People are concerned by the fact that in the bill there's a section that says that the monitor has certain powers of entry, and one of the conditions that could overrule that power of entry is, quote, if a serious incident has taken place and the presence of the monitor may exacerbate tensions. Now, I don't know about anybody listening, but if I had a monitor, if there was a monitor, I'd hope like hell that that would be there if something serious has happened and not have something written into legislation that allows the serious incident to prevent them from being present and carrying out their work.
Is there anything that the bill gets right or that shows promise that just needs to be developed, or do you think that the bill just needs an entire rethink?
Look, I agree with the purpose of the bill. I disagree with what it lays out. It certainly doesn't meet the purpose. But the purpose is to strengthen the oversight of Oranga Tamariki. There's a far easier way of doing that, and that's better resource what we currently have. We have an effective advocate, and just support them better, fund them better, and actually listen to what they're doing. If you want to strengthen oversight, people need action that follows up from the advocacy, because if all we're doing is screaming at the system, screaming at the government that you're getting it wrong here, and it continues and continues, and they continue to shut down those voices, they won't strengthen anything.
What would be your calls for the government to better serve the tamariki that this bill is meant to advocate for?
Yeah, I would say start listening to young people, start including those voices into the work. This bill is a great example of why that's important. It doesn't meet any of the intentions. It does not sit well with us. And, you know, at a time where there's an emphasis on the voice of lived experience, we've got the Royal Commission of Inquiry, which is one of the highest levels of inquiries in the country, looking into abuse and care. I find it quite insulting, actually, that while this work is underway, the government feel they're in a position to draft up the future around how to improve the system when you have the voices of survivors giving you the insight. I mean, I don't know if you read the report, the article that Carmel Sepulani, who's driving this bill, did not even read the redress report coming out of the Royal Commission of Inquiry, which touches on issues of oversight. So if you check out our website, it's www.voice.org.nz, you'll find on our website there the issues that we have with the bill, and explains it in a pretty easy way to understand.
And that was Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission's Karen Osborne, followed by Voice National Care Experience Lead Tupua Ulrich.